election year, 2026. It is turning deadly and dirty. Let us hear from political commentator Solly Mueng. Welcome, Solly.
Hello, Chris. Thank you. Lovely to see you again.
You too. Three politicians killed in one evening. An African National Congress councillor and two aspirant councillors, one from the Democratic Alliance and one from BOSA.
Yeah, and two men killed in Bekkestal, also related to a political party. I'm not sure which one. I think this is really bad. It justifies the continued existence of this political killings task force, because clearly these have not stopped. And this time we start heading towards elections. It's a whole combination of people fighting for positions, but also we're hearing in the Western Cape it could have been some kind of extortion thing that happened with this lady, Sinofoyo, who had been threatened to deliver money to some people for protection. And we don't know if this is why she was killed, but it's really not good.
She was an anti-crime activist as well.
Yeah, Dunun is not an easy place to be. I mean, you have to be super courageous to be playing the role that she did in a place like that. Now, it's very unfortunate. I don't know what else they would be required for people like that, because somebody else is going to come out. They're going to find themselves in pretty much the same situation. They do need protection. It's not a safe area at all. But those people have to be represented. They have got to have a voice in our politics.
Being a councillor is such a sought-after position in a township where it makes such a huge difference to a person and his family.
Look, there are different kinds of councillors. There are people who really want to make a difference, who see the need to get into the system and instead of continuously peeing from outside the tent, inside the political tent, to go in there and make the difference. But there are, of course, people who also see these as opportunities for a job, to climb up and to access the feeding trough, as it were. Either way, it's a very risky position, because sometimes people are even killed by their own Congress, their own people from the same political party wanting to occupy the position. So it's a very risky place to be.
From the deadly to the dirty, the Parliament Speaker is under fire for not opposing President Cyril Ramaphosa's urgent bid to stave off his impeachment inquiry.
Yeah, look, Chris, what's happening with that process is it exposes again the stress in which our democratic institutions find themselves. The Speaker, her office occupies an important position which must be independent of political instructions, but she can't because she's a deployee of a political party. I have worked inside a political party. People working in those positions are deployed by political parties. They're not there by themselves for themselves. And one should not be surprised if the Speaker would have been called into some meeting somewhere with the political party leadership that deployed her, because she's not there on her own, to say, listen, this is the way we want this thing to go. It would not be surprising. But then it would become her responsibility to say, wait a minute, on this particular point, I put the constitution, the people, the country ahead of that. Has to go ahead. A lot of times they struggle to do that.
Because she is now giving the impression that she's protective towards the president.
Look, I would expect her to be protective towards the president. In a very cynical way, of course, for the reasons that the president is her political boss. The ANC is her political boss. The Novula Mokoyanes and everybody who sits at the top of the ANC, the other people who said, look, we are going to send you, we're deploying you, you are a messenger in that position. So suddenly she can't be seen from their perspective at least to be acting against the their wishes. But then she's in a very difficult position, because she also occupies a very important position of state. The Constitutional Court has announced itself on this topic. The Constitutional Court has made it clear that Parliament, which she has as the Speaker, has to go ahead with this impeachment, which it has. The committee has been established. But she's suddenly struggling to decide which way she belongs. Maybe she must resign. But in the end, it's a good thing that the Parliamentary Committee can still go ahead with the work that it must. She's just being exposed. She must make up her mind. Is it South Africa first, or is it your political party first? It's a problem that will not go away anytime soon while the electoral system remains as it is.
Which parlor secrets that have been kept up to now do you think are in danger of being exposed if this inquiry goes ahead?
Well, I heard somebody saying, where is the sofa? We want to see the sofa. It's part of the evidence that must sit in front of us, right? It's still very unclear as to how those funds got into the country. It's hard for me to imagine that somebody flew into South Africa with suitcases filled with hot American dollars of that amount and managed to go through customs. It doesn't make sense to me. And it is also going to expose the public protector, SARS, who decided, and the Reserve Bank, who decided to look the other way. We know that if it were you and me in that position, they would have pounced on us big time. I teach at the EU Business School, which is based in Europe, where I can pay small amounts from time to time. I have to complete forms for small amounts. You know, saying somebody comes in there with millions and millions and they get through it. So Ramaphosa has not told us everything that we need to know. And he's like that. Ramaphosa was deputy to Zuma during the very, very toxic years of state capture, that other state capture. And he came out saying, oh, I don't know, I didn't see anything. He hasn't seen anything. He was deputy, for God's sake. I mean, you can't tell me that this man was asked to recuse himself from meetings between Zuma and the Guptas and whoever else was involved with Zuma during that period. He still hasn't told us anything. So right now he's pretending that, oh, no, it's not such a big thing. It is a big deal. He is the president of the country. He is found to have been keeping that money, and apparently it's a lot more. It could have been a lot more than we know. And the case was, the robbery happened in 2020. He didn't say, he remained chup still. There was attempt at private investigation of it, with the details of which have been exposed. I think there's a lot more going on there. The reasons why the money was it his money? There's a lot of speculation now. Was it to fund his political party? Was it to fund his own political, you know, staying in power? Because we know that this party operates in an era where, in a climate of having to push brown envelopes to individuals to keep them on the right side or the political faction. So we don't know. I mean, all of this and a lot more is speculation because this man has not come out to say, this is what happened. You know, rule number one of reputation management, Chris, is to come out and say, this is the truth. No matter how bitter the truth is, let's deal with it. But if you leave too much room for speculation, as Ramaphosa has, we shouldn't be surprised then that people are putting this story in all directions, but somewhere out there is the truth. And that truth has not been told to South Africa by Ramaphosa. But it's going to have to fight its way out because, you know, there's something with that happens with light. If you can't keep it in the shadow, in crevices for too long, one day it's going to start coming out.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas, medical aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
Solly, with the local government elections looming in November, there is so much at stake for all the political parties. But what should residents in our long-suffering big metros be most concerned about?
You know, Chris, I often wonder, at what point should voters take responsibility for the actions of the people they vote for? Especially if they keep voting for those people over and over again. It's one thing that if you vote for a party, an individual, they go in there, they go rogue, then you hopefully vote them out the next time. But if you keep voting them in over and over again, then it means that you haven't learned any lesson. I think this is where we're at. The people of Johannesburg, well, maybe I should give them some credit because the ANC has dropped over the years, both at national level and at local level. I think it needs to drop more. But they should not give any, it's not just about the ANC. Oh, look, the ANC has been the Makulu Bas of South African politics all these years. But we need to ensure that nobody ever gets so much power that they can take people for granted. The people of Johannesburg need to leave Umzabalazo struggle credentials behind. They need to focus on what needs to be done. They need to look at the candidates who are standing up to lead the country. They must not just look at the fancy, friendly, smiley individuals that are being put in front of them. They must look at the political machineries because we're not voting for individuals. The same way that people said, yeah, you must vote for Ramaphosa. You know, he's the Lasso for South Africa, but he came from a political party which still has some really, really bad people in its leadership. So the same thing is happening at local level. South Africans in Johannesburg, in Ekurhuleni, in Pretoria, Tshwane, in Ethekwini, Cape Town, Nelson Mandela Bay, all over, must look who is sending this person to be a candidate and what are the chances of this person changing the character of that political animal, you know, if they were to be voted in. The chances are that they won. They're just employees. So what do you want to see happen? Johannesburg is broken. Hillbrow is broken. Soweto is broken. Uville is broken. Braamfontein is broken. Many parts, Ekurhuleni, broken. Those townships in the eastern part of Johannesburg are broken. You can't keep doing things the same way over and over again and expect different outcomes. You need to say, it doesn't matter whether the mayor is from Miss White or Indian or gay, lesbian, Muslim, Christian, as long as they're going to respect that they are there for all of the people of Johannesburg and act for the people of Johannesburg. Water crisis in Johannesburg. I see here people say we haven't had water for 2 weeks or electricity or the potholes. I mean, the buildings that have been taken over, buildings that have squatter camps built inside of them. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. So you need somebody to go in there and be very clear about what needs to be done. And they mustn't go there, you know, looking for favors. They mustn't go there because they must be clear that they have nothing to lose but to serve this country, because this country needs to be served. The people of Johannesburg and other metros need to be served. All of them across the board. Race baiting, there must be no room for it. This is not about race. It's about what needs to be done to make this country, these cities, great again. Because it can be if you get the right people into those positions.
Solly, you are not a member of a political party at the moment, I know, but I have not asked you this question. Why did you leave Action SA?
You know, Chris, in a relationship, from time to time, you get to a point where, you know, you don't, the other one is not only responding to your needs and it goes both ways, and you decide, you know, before we start banging doors and hating each other, let's just amicably separate. And this is what happened with me, with Action SA. You know, I've been a political commentator, advocacy for, you know, for the right thing for many, many years, long before I joined Action SA. And then ahead of the 2024 elections, I decided, you know what? I've been pissing inside the political tent from outside for too long. Let me just go in, because that's where you need to be in order to get things changed. So I did. I joined a political party. Okay. But the truth is, I'm not able to use my voice in a political party the way I'm able to use with you now, because then you have to be mindful of the sensitivities. If a political party says or does things that you don't agree with fundamentally, you have to keep quiet because, you know, you're part of the collective. It can be quite tough. I think maybe, look, in the end, Action SA, especially Herman Mashaba, brought me back to South Africa. And for me, that's important. And that's a statement that we issued in October last year when we separated. You know, this man believed in me. He believed that what the ANC had done to me to get me kicked out of the country. I wasn't kicked out. Basically, conditions were created for me to be. He said, I'm going to bring you back home. And he did. So I respect him for that. But it doesn't mean that I have to stay and walk a political journey no matter what. You know, I thought, you know, this country still needs voices that will speak truth to power, irrespective of who is standing in front of South Africa. South Africa comes first to me. No political party, no political leader will ever stand between me and South Africa. That's for sure. You know, I understand people who keep thinking that I'm settled with a political party because they haven't seen the statement. We live in an era where when you say something, you cannot assume that everybody has heard you or anything. So I think we have to keep repeating messages, but I'm not with a political party. I mean, it's a long answer, I know, but I'm not with a political party. I have huge respect for especially the people, individuals inside Action SA, which I joined, people who have not politicians before, you know, and like in Rise, in Bosa, in all these small parties, there are people who were not politicians, who were leading their lives, and suddenly they said, look, we can't keep standing on the sidelines when South Africa is burning. Let's do something. So there are many people who went into the political space ahead of the, especially ahead of the 2024 elections, because they felt South Africa needed to be saved again from the ANC this time. Before it was saved from apartheid, this time it needed to be saved from the ANC. So they've gone into BOSA, into Rise Mzansi, into Action SA, good people with good credentials. But once you operate from a political party space, in some way, you can't be exactly the same person again, you know. So I have huge respect. I really do have huge respect for people who were independent before and who decided to go into a political party and stay there, because I don't know if I'm capable of doing that. Because when I say, if I'm a baby with something, especially if I don't think it's good for South Africa, for diversity, for who we are as a people, the potential that we have, I will struggle to keep quiet. But I would vote for somebody when the elections come. Of course, I will always vote. I haven't decided who I'm going to vote for, but I do vote, and I do call others to go to vote for what is good for their country, for South Africa, for the metro, the township, the municipality in which. Do not look at skin color. Do not look at emotions. Look at whether those people have what it takes to make the difference that needs to be done for your city, for your country.
I agree with you, Solly. I've never been a member of a political party. And should a party come along that rules for the people, I shall join it. But thus far, that has not happened. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me again, Solly Mweng, political commentator on Biz News, with me, Christine.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure.
Start your day a step ahead. Biz News Insider. It delivers the business stories that matter every morning straight to your inbox. Sharp, fast, and free. Subscribe now. In uncertain times, good information is priceless. The Biz News Conference is heading back to the Drakensberg. Join me, Alec Hogg, from the 11th to the 14th of August for BNC 9. Champagne Sports Resort, where it all began and where our community gathers for honest conversations, smart investing insights, and direct access to some of South Africa's sharpest minds. Come and rub shoulders with the best we've got. 28 keynote speakers, 3 days. Seats are available now. Book your seat by clicking the link in the description.